the August 20th, 2020 City of Columbia Planning and Zoning Commission to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Here.
Present.
I believe Mr. Stanton is here. He's not here to respond to roll call, so may we leave his spot to be determined in a few minutes?
Sure.
Thank you. Ms. Galloway Jones.
Here.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell.
Here.
Mr. Tuohy.
Here.
We have seven responding to roll call. We have a quorum.
All right, approval of the agenda. Mr. Zinner, are there any adjustments to the agenda?
No, there are not, sir.
I move to approve.
Second.
All right, all those in favor, can I get a thumbs up? Okay, great. Next item, approval of minutes. You should have all received copies of the August 6, 2020 minutes from our regular meeting. Are there any corrections or modifications that need to be made?
Move to approve.
Can I get a second? Thank you, Mr. Stanton.
May I make a note that Mr. Stanton is here? Mr. Stanton, you are here, and your response to roll call?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, going back to approval of minutes, can I get a thumbs up if you approve the minutes? Great. Okay, our first item is subdivisions. We have case 08-2020, a request from Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Randy Rogers Romains and Matthew Collins Rogers for a one-lot subdivision to be known as Moon Valley Subdivision Plat 1. The approximate 3.1-acre subdivision is located southwest of the terminus of Moon Valley Road and is zoned R1, district. Before we proceed, at this time, I'd like to ask any commissioner who's had ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case before us. Seeing none, we can continue. So this is a subdivision, so this case does not require a public hearing, but if anyone from the public would like to come up and provide any additional information, you can do so at this time. We're doing it after. All right. If none, then Mr. Zinner.
I will let Ms. Bacon make the presentation here this evening.
I'm happy to provide a staff report. So as you mentioned, this is the Moon Valley Subdivision Block 3 final plat. It's a final minor plat. The intent is to bestow legal lot status so that a single family home can be built on the 3.1 acre property. We had a public information meeting in November. We then, because of the time had lapsed, sent out advanced public information postcards to alert folks of this meeting this evening as well. We sent those postcards in July. Eight postcards were sent to surrounding property owners. In terms of the site, the property is sort of nestled here just south of Broadway Village, as well as the Hinkson Creek through, or the Hominy Creek, excuse me, through here. Shepherd Boulevard and the Shepherd neighborhood are up in here. So as I mentioned, this property is zoned R1, and the desire is to put a single family home on the property. That is all that would be permitted with the one lot subdivision plat. This property has been in the family for quite some time, and the intent is for the property owners to live on the property. On the plat here, you can see that there is an existing conservation easement that generally runs to the west, south, and east of the property, but I do want to note that the proposed home site would be outside of this conservation easement. Access to the site will be from Moon Valley Road. Moon Valley Road is a private road from about this point on the plat on to southward. So access will be provided through an irrevocable shared access agreement between the adjoining property owners. The plat also dedicates a 50-foot wide green space trail easement here for the future Hominy Trail connection. That proposed trail connection has been shown on the 2013 Parks and Rec Master Plan. The plat also shows all utility easements which are required to serve the property with the respective utilities. The existing water line that runs generally in the vicinity of the road will be upgraded from a 1-inch to a 6-inch to allow for proper fire flow. Additionally, there will be a hydrant placed on the property, and as included in the attachments to the staff report, there will be a T-turn fire turnaround lane added to the proposed driveway to allow a fire apparatus truck to get in and out of the property should it be needed. We are anticipating a few minor technical corrections. Particularly, there's a book and page reference in two spots that will be filled in. That's when those private irrevocable access agreements are recorded. So we are recommending a few minor technical corrections be addressed prior to the plat going to the City Council, but with that minor exception, the proposed plat does meet all the requirements of the UDC, and so we are recommending approval of the final plat, Moon Valley Subdivision Block 3, this evening. And I do believe the applicant is here, should you have any questions. I'm also happy to answer any questions as well.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Any of the commissioners have questions? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Bacon, two things real quick. The upgrades to the water line must be complete before a CO is issued for a domicile on this property?
Correct.
All right. It says in your notes that you received three inquiries seeking more information.
Yes.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
So there's a very active neighborhood association, Shepherd Boulevard, and so I did get some questions from those property owners. Additionally, my best friend has had a lot of questions. She lives in this property right here as well. So I don't know that there were any concerns expressed by the calls that I received, but generally there were inquiries as to what did they want to do with the property.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Stanton, did you have something you wanted to say? Any other questions for staff? Oh, Ms. Carroll?
Quick question, just to orient myself here. Private access road, mm-hmm. Moon Valley Road, was that the existing gravel road on the property?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure I'm looking at the right property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from about this point on, it's gravel and it's a private road and it's not the city's.
Anyone else? Anyone like to make a motion? Mr. Stanton?
As it relates to case 8-2020, I move for approval of the final plat of Moon Valley Subdivision Block 3, subject to minor technical corrections.
Second.
Thank you for your second. Any further discussion?
Didn't you second?
I did.
If none, Ms. Burns, will you please call the roll?
Yes. My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Ms. Galloway-Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Great. Moving on to subdivisions and public hearings. First case, number 74-2020, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Gary Fow seeking approval of a two-lot final plat containing approximately 0.35 acres of RMF zone property located at the northeast corner of North 6th Street and Wilkes Boulevard to be known as Knowles Addition Plat 2. In addition to the plat approval, a design adjustment from Chapter 29, 5.1, relating to the dedication of a 10-foot easement along North 6th Street is requested. The intent of the plat is to split the existing lot so the homes will be on individual lots. Before we proceed, just want to say again, I'd like to ask any commissioner who's had any ex parte communication prior to this meeting related to case number 74-2020, please disclose that now, so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case before us. Hearing none, may we have a staff report?
Yes, Chair. So as you mentioned, these are 600 and 602 Wilkes. So 600 is the one here on the far west, and 602 is the interior home. Those two homes are on 1.35 acre lot. The property is zoned RMF for residential multifamily, which does permit multiple units on a lot. But the applicant has indicated that he would like to be able to sell these properties independently of one another. And so that's what the two lot subdivision request is for this evening. We had a public information meeting in February of 2020. And I did go ahead and send out additional public information notification postcards on July 17th because some time had passed. And that alerted them of the meeting this evening. I also put an advertisement in the Columbia Tribune and sent property owner letters to adjacent property owners. I sent 21 postcards and then to the same list, 21 property owner letters. So to orient ourselves to the site, you've got Hickman High School here directly across the street. I will note too that these two properties, at least one of them is being used as a daycare center right now. We've got Wilkes Boulevard, United Methodist Church, Central Community Action, Kilgore's is here along with their outdoor garden, Job Point. So this neighborhood has a lot of social service and activities going on. It's also a residential neighborhood, primarily in this particular block, occupied by single family homes, despite the preponderance of RMF zoning. And so that's a point that I'll come back to here in a moment. So as I mentioned, the property owner would like to be able to sell each of the homes on each individual lot. There is a functional option to condo the property, but that has some technical challenges and also some financing challenges that are less than desirable to many property owners. So that's why they would like to be able to split them into two lots. They aren't requesting to change the zoning. The RMF zone does permit multiple units on the lot. It also would permit two single-family homes, each on their own lot. These lots are large enough, or the existing lot is large enough, that it could conceivably support five dwelling units. So after the split, we're looking at just having two dwelling units on the two lots. So in terms of density, that's something that you might want to consider. The Board of Adjustment heard several variance requests last month with regards to this property. The one that's really important to note for the subdivision action and why it took a little while for this plat to get to this body is that there are substandard lot widths. So the RMF zone requires a 60-foot lot width frontage. The proposed plat does not meet that 60-foot for each one. So in particular, the lot that houses 600 Wilkes, which is 2A, at its narrowest point, it goes down to 39 feet. And then lot 2B, which has 602 Wilkes, at its narrowest point, it goes down to 52 feet in width. So for this plat to even come before the Planning and Zoning Commission, variances from the Board of Adjustment had to be granted for that substandard lot width. The board did grant those variances with the condition that those lot widths only apply to single-family use of the property. So taking a step back on that, because the fundamental underlying zoning of the property is not changing, if that condition were not in place, then potentially this lot here, 2A, would be large enough to have three dwelling units on it with the reduced lot width. And lot 2B would be large enough to have three dwelling units on it. And so they wanted to give the accommodation to promote the single family home ownership that the property owner has stated that they are trying to promote. We've heard quite a bit from this neighborhood in particular that is a goal of theirs over the years, to promote home ownership and to do things that help promote that rather than seeing continuation of consolidation of properties to build multifamily. The other variances really had to do more with the existing conditions related to where the houses are currently sited on the lot. So there were some that were related to an existing driveway location and some side yard setback types of things, but they are they're not part of the platting action this evening. So I won't really go into detail on those. So going back to the plat, now that it is able to come forward to this commission, now that the what otherwise would be substandard lots are basically legalized for this process, the plat does dedicate 5 foot of additional right-of-way on the North 6th Street frontage, which is required. So that brings it to a 25-foot half-width dedication. which is required per the code. There is already adequate right-of-way on Wilkes Boulevard. It's got a 60-foot right-of-way, so no additional right-of-way dedication is required there. The plat also dedicates the 10-foot corner truncation here at the intersection, which is required. The plat also dedicates utility easements. However, the subject design adjustment addresses that they'd like to put a slightly substandard dedication of utility easement around where the existing home at 600 Wilkes is, and I'll go into that more in here in a detail in a moment. But here you can see here's the 39-foot narrowest point of Lot 2A, and then the 52 feet, which is the narrowest point of Lot 2B. Okay, so the partial design adjustment request, this is from Section 29.5.1G4 of the UDC, which requires a 10-foot dedication of utility easement adjacent to all public right-of-way. So you can see here on the Wilkes frontage, they are dedicating the full 10, and then they've got the curvature here for the truncation at the corner. But where the existing home is, they're proposing to neck down at the narrowest point. It's about 3 feet. And the request, based upon the correspondence submitted by the applicant, indicates that it's not desirable to have a home encroaching into the utility easement if it has issues with financing or sellers and buyers at some point and sometimes. Section 29.5.2B9 of the code provides design adjustment criteria. We sat down with all the utility providers when this request was made. There was some give and take with the applicant. They had originally proposed requesting a waiver of the right-of-way and then providing more of the utility easement or a combination thereof, and this was sort of the compromise that seemed the most amenable to all parties. So we get the additional 5 feet of right-of-way that is required by the code, which also does provide some additional area to put utilities in it. So right-of-way can be used for utility placement as well. But they did ask, the applicant did ask to narrowly tailor the utility dedication to where the home was. We did ask that they provide it in full where it was possible in other places. I also want to note that this right here is a shed. It is movable, so that is shown as encroaching into the newly dedicated utility easement, but it is movable. The applicant has been advised that they have the option to pursue a right of use permit to operate that shed in that location into the future. So overall, when looking at the criteria to review and bestow a design adjustment, staff does not believe that the request is inconsistent with that criteria. And so overall, we are recommending approval of the design adjustment from Section 29.5.1G4 to permit a reduction of the required 10-foot utility easement in the vicinity of that existing home as reflected on the plat. And we are recommending approval of the final plat for Knowles Addition, plat number 2 as well. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have, and I do believe the applicant is also here.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. That was a Zinner mouthful. So we've got lots of questions, so I'm going to start on this side and go to the right. Ms. Russell?
When we get to the motion, do you want one motion or two?
Okay. Ms. Burns?
Was the applicant agreeable to maintaining the single-family character that the Board of Adjustment suggested?
He is not in the affirmative.
Okay. And then would that convey to subsequent property owners?
So it convey, yes. So redevelopment of the property.
Since it's zoned RMF. Okay.
Yes. So let's say that the property transfers in the future and they wanted to use it for multifamily. They wouldn't be able to use those substandard lot widths. They'd have to reconsolidate
okay.
the two lots. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All variances and the conditions associated with them granted by the board transfer to subsequent purchasers. They run with the land.
Thank you.
Mr. Stanton.
That was a similar question. So this isn't going to bite us in the behind later because the zoning hasn't changed, but they agreed to a particular condition, even though the zoning allows them to have multifamily. So
correct.
They would have to come back, consolidate that into one lot, and then proceed?
Correct.
Or mm-hmm. granted? Okay.
Mr. McMahon?
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Bacon, first off, I'd like to say the neighborhood has been very
engaged in this area of late, but not specifically these properties. And I'd want to say that the narrow lot widths, I did the same thing you did.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Don't bother us. And also, there are a lot of narrow lots if you just look up and down the street. Could these properties qualify for an ADU? They're big enough.
Oh, no. Let me take a step back. You have to have 50 feet of lot width to have an ADU. So this one here would not be able to.
But the 600. Right hand would potentially.
Hmm.
Okay. How did?
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did we parse out driveways?
So there are two things to that question. So there's an existing shared driveway right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the variance requests was actually to be able to keep that. So we don't allow basically new shared driveways to occur. The code specifically says you can't have a driveway within 6 feet of the adjoining property line.
Neighborhood is fraught with shared driveways.
Mm-hmm. So this, they were granted a variance for that. So this shared driveway situation is going to be allowed to persist. Any additional driveway activity is going to be subject to any, like what any other property would in the code.
All right. The next question would be as follows. I noticed that these have a private sanitary sewer that services them. Is that correct?
So that there is one there. However, there is a second public line that came up. And actually, Mr. Zenner specifically asked me that as well.
We've had some issues recently on the west side where both of those systems are actually operational. Is the private sewer currently working?
I don't believe
don't
they're
know?
Connected to it. Yeah, it came up as part of the review questions, I can tell you
okay,
that.
That's mm-hmm. that's been a problem, just to mm-hmm. let you all know here on the commission, that we've run into that in a couple houses recently on Alexander, where they're both functioning. The narrow utility easement mm-hmm. where it goes down to 3 feet on the side of the house. I'm familiar with this property. I live right around the corner. Is that a problem for the utilities?
So they reviewed this particular case because of the additional 5 feet of right-of-way dedication would give them a little bit more space. Given what's there, what future plans are for this area, they felt like they could work within that constraint.
All right. The last question I have is mm-hmm. as follows. The new quote-unquote property line, I mean, I realize they were both one property before,
mm-hmm.
It moves to the east of the fence. Are you with me on the drawing where it cuts out to the southeast and then drops straight back to the south? That can create confusion going forward. I just wanted to point that out. It's because someone assumes that the fence line is their property, and it is not. That's all I have for the moment. Thank you very much.
Anyone else have additional questions for staff? All right, if not, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. If you have any information that you'd like to present to the commission, please come forward. All right, seeing none, hearing's closed. Any further comments, discussion, questions for staff? Want to make a motion? Ms. Russell.
In the case of 74-2020, Knowles Addition Plat number 2, I move to approve the design adjustment from section 29.5.1.G.4 to permit a reduction of the required 10-foot utility easement on a portion of North 6th Street in the vicinity of the existing home at 600 Wilkes Boulevard, as reflected on the plat.
Second.
I think I got a second from Mr. Stanton. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Russell, for your motion. Any other discussion? All right, if not, Ms. Burns?
Yes, thank you. My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Ms. Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
Motion carries. Recommendation will be forwarded to City Council.
All right, moving on to public hearings.
Nope.
I have a second motion.
Oh, I forgot about that. Thank you, Ms. Russell. So.
In case of 74-2020, Knowles Edition, plat number 2, I move to approve the final plat for Knowles Edition, plat number 2.
Second.
Mr. McMahon had that second. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, if not, Ms. Burns, will you call roll, please?
Who made that second, please?
I did.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you.
Okay, my vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Ms. Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries. Recommendation will be forwarded to City Council.
All right. Now moving on to public hearings. Case number 148-2020, request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Boone Development, Inc. for a major amendment to, how do you pronounce that?
The Shapira.
Shapira, okay. Shapira Clinic, final OP development plans statement of intent to include medical marijuana testing facility and personal services in general as a permissible on-site uses. The Shakira, is that how you pronounce it?
Shakira,
sorry. Clinic, final OP development plan was adopted in 1987, permitting office uses and revised in August 2019 to permit medical marijuana dispensary as permitted uses on the site. The 0.07-acre property is zoned PD, located at the southwest corner of College Avenue and Roger Street, and addressed at 411 North College Avenue. Before we continue, again, I'd like to ask any commissioner who has had ex parte communication prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that so all commissioners have the same information. Seeing none, can we please have the staff report?
Yes, you may, Mr. Chair. Oh, don't want to call you Matt, I'm sorry.
All right.
So too used to it. As you said, they're requesting a statement of intent revision. Real quick, on public notice, we sent advanced public info postcards for this case, total of 18, and advertised in the Trib on August 4th, and also sent property owner letters to the same 18 folks. Here's a little aerial view. Of course, it's a pretty prominent site. I think everyone knows what we're talking about here, with Walt's bike across the road and the Phillips 66 station there. I think everybody knows. So as you stated previously, the property was originally zoned R3, and it was rezoned in 1987 to planned office district. The plan was subsequently approved in 1988. And it permitted all office uses that were typically permitted in the OP district at the time. Late last year, the statement of intent was amended to approve a medical marijuana dispensary there. This proposal would actually add testing facilities, medical marijuana testing facilities, as well as personal services general, which includes things like Walt's Bike Shop would be a good example, or at least the repair aspect of Walt's Bike Shop, hair salons, so on and so forth. So just a little context, I guess. Neighboring properties are typically zoned RMF in this area, especially to the south and east. The Benton Stevens Urban Conservation Overlay exists on the east side of College Avenue in this location. Properties to the north, like Walt's and of the other business up there, but to the north and west are generally zoned MN on both sides of Rogers, just to be precise. The North Village Arts District is also further to the west and includes a number of artisan industries and mixed uses, which include slightly higher intensity uses than what we see in this immediate context, because this is kind of the transition into residential on the south and east of this property. A little more on this current statement of intent. Those uses are fairly consistent with existing MOF uses, and really back in time are consistent with the OP uses that were permitted previously. With the exception of the dispensary use, which was approved by council last year, the medical marijuana testing facility is actually probably more consistent with the office uses. It's a, especially on a small scale, would be considered less intensive of a use than the actual dispensary use that was that is now permitted. Like I said, the impacts to the neighborhood are limited by the size of the building itself. And also just the property. Obviously, we're not going to have an industrial scale type of testing facility on this property. They're also subject to the use specific standards of section 29.3.3QQ, which require state licensure and also the 500 foot buffer requirements that we see of all medical marijuana facilities. Personal services general is consistent with the dispensary use, so it is a little more intensive of a use. They would typically just be a service industry type facility that would permit some commercial aspects that would be considered incidental to the service aspect. So for instance, a hair salon might sell hair products, but they would be primarily a hair salon. So if you expand that to other uses, it would be pretty typical. The personal services general is allowed in the MOF with a conditional use permit. So in effect, you'd be granting them a conditional use for that use at this point with the PD plan. So the proposed uses do satisfy the comprehensive plan, which seeks to create walkable neighborhood-based services. Obviously, they are in close proximity to residential areas, and they could serve those residential areas. It also is not going to increase the intensity of uses than, beyond what's already approved on the site. So with the medical marijuana facilities, we do a preliminary investigation as to whether the site would qualify with the use-specific standards and the state standards of the 500-foot buffer with the school or daycare or church. And this property does appear to meet those requirements. However, upon the application for a license, it would be more thoroughly examined, and approval of those standards would come before the licensure is awarded to that property from the state. So with that, I think our recommendation would be for approval of the revised statement of intent for the Shapira Clinic PD plan, and that would be to add medical marijuana testing facilities and personal services general to the permitted use list. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Refresh my memory. Council approved this, and this is not indicative of the way I'm going to vote, but we voted this down, did we not?
I believe it was a tie vote, so no recommendation.
Was that what, is that what happened? I couldn't recall exactly how that played out. Mr. Zinner's, I can see Mr. Zinner's mind working over there. It doesn't really matter. I was just trying to refresh my memory. Thank you very much.
Ms. Galway-Jones.
So they're replacing the approved dispensary use with the testing facility use. Is that what's happening?
No, they're adding the testing facility.
They're adding the testing facility use. And there's enough square footage there to do that, I guess. You don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I think they have a prospective user, and apparently it would meet their needs. I think the property owners here maybe expand on that.
It's here for that. I can.
And that's my other question. Are they already possessing a license as they're coming to us with this, or do they need us to approve to get the license?
The user that is that precipitated the request to expand the statement of intent's use list has nothing to do with medical marijuana. It is a personal service user that had sought a business license. We determined that the business license could not be issued due to the nature of the business that is a personal service business not being permitted. The advice provided to the applicant at the time when they inquired as to what the procedure would be was to ask to have the statement of intent expanded to ensure it captures all potential future uses, given that this is the second request to come back and amend this statement of intent in less than a 12-month period of time. So while medical marijuana facilities testing and if this is approved, testing would be added, and the medical marijuana dispensary facility has been permitted or has been approved for use on this site, the statutory requirements and the opening for licensure of either facilities has come and gone. So the maximum number of permits within the Congressional District for medical marijuana facilities has been exceeded. So additional medical marijuana dispensary facilities would not be likely. And given the state's desire to have a restricted number of testing facilities, which there were only two, if I recall correctly, in the legislation, one has been permitted, and I'm not sure if the other one is at this point, but as well, there was a licensure window for that, and both have closed.
That's why I'm asking, because it seems to me that it's a moot question.
It is to the extent that there's an immediate likelihood of something. However, given the nature of the site in its prominent location, the possibility for the state to revise the maximum number of licensures to be issued within the congressional districts is unknown, and they just want to be able to have an opportunity should an opening occur to be able to apply for either a dispensary licensure or possibly a testing facility licensure, both of which are subject to a whole series and litany of requirements at the state level.
Ms. Carroll.
Okay. Reviewing, Mr. McMahon, you're referring to tie vote back in 2019 on the dispensary addition. Is that correct?
That's the question I was asking.
Okay. And do we remember from, I guess, from the current review or from back then, is this a two-story?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have square footage?
Not in front of me, no.
Okay. That's the extent of my questions. Thank you.
The PD plan as it exists today, however, does have a maximum square footage limitation. When the addition was added, there was an addition that was put on. That's the plan two that was referred to in the report. That is to the southwest of the property, which was for some parking. And I believe there's an existing residence on the property at this point. The square footage, however, is pretty well established. The building is not being proposed to be modified in any form or fashion. It's just trying to expand that use list to accommodate the personal services.
I'm just trying to get a perspective of the property and the future of the property. Do you know what that max square footage is?
Unfortunately, I do not. I just know there is one established, and anything beyond that maximum square footage would require another major amendment to the PD coming back before this body and through a full public process.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Burns?
Circling back, Mr. Palmer, you said that the use would be similar to Walt's Bike Shop or the design studio that's in the area, law offices. But maybe I misunderstood, Mr. Zenner. Did you say that they needed to add this revised statement because the use is not included in those uses?
No, the use is not included in the current statement of intent. It is restricted generally to office uses pursuant to the OP zoning district of 1987 and 01 uses, which do not have any personal service, barbershop, beauty salon, okay, or anything included within that grouping of uses. So the ability to be able to add those personal services that have maybe the minor retail, that's really the bigger thrust of this request than it is to have the medical marijuana given other regulatory
requirements. Thank you. I was just concerned about the use and why we were adding maybe a use that wasn't permitted, but I understand now. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon, do you have a follow-up?
Just real quickly, for Ms. Carroll, if you'll notice that the site is quite small. and the building couldn't get much bigger given an office use, just, you know, with parking and things like that, and driveways. All right.
I was going to take the max square footage.
Ms. Carroll, can you speak on the microphone?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. McMahon. I was going to take the max square footage as a ballpark approximate of what it's likely currently at.
Okay, that's...
Any other questions for Mr. Palmer or Mr. Zinner? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. If anyone from the public would like to come up and provide us more information on this case, please do so. Please know that if you're speaking on behalf of yourself, you have 3 minutes. If you're speaking for a group, you have six. And please state your name and your address before speaking clearly into the microphone.
I'm Dan Beck, and I'm an attorney with Smith Lewis with office in Columbia, and I represent the applicant, Boone Development, Inc. And I just want to expand on what Mr. Zinner shared with you. We agree with everything that was in Mr. Palmer's report. I'd just like to state that what spurred this request is we have a prospective tenant that wants to operate an esthetician business on the second floor. Currently, the building's occupied by a real estate brokerage firm, and this esthetician business we thought was permitted under office use. It's not, so we needed to expand the use to include personal services general. At the time the application was submitted, we thought we'd go ahead, and at the time, because we'd already been previously approved for a medical marijuana dispensary business, that we'd see what we could do about expanding the use to include a medical marijuana testing facility. If I understand that that's the expanded use to include testing facilities a little more contentious than personal services general, so we'd ask the commission to consider both separately, if you would, if you're hesitant or reluctant to agree to both expanded uses, to consider them separately, because we're more concerned with getting this commission's approval with respect to the personal services general. And I'm here with Tyler Singleton, who's a representative of the applicant as well, should you have any questions for either one of us.
Any commissioners have any questions for Mr. Beckett? Mr. McMahon?
Just real short. Previously, my concern, and it was a no vote last time, was the traffic flow. Traffic flow business here, if it was a full service marijuana place, would be the dispensary. Your testing services don't bother me at all. Just FYI. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Beckett.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Ms. Galloway Jones.
I'm way over here in the corner. To be clear, what you actually want to do is rent the second floor to an esthetician.
Yes, ma'am. That's our aim.
You're just also trying to expand it to anything and everything.
Well, in the event, because we are interested in pursuing and expanding.
Mr. Beckett, can you speak on the microphone?
Yes, ma'am. Because we are interested in expanding, and it would entertain the likelihood of accommodating a tenant that was awarded a medical marijuana testing license. If we could accommodate him, we'd like it.
Anyone else? Are there any additional speakers who'd like to come forward? If not, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, any discussion, additional questions for staff? Ms. Carroll?
I'm amenable to both of the motions, to clarify. I think that based on zoning, it's perfectly suitable for marijuana testing. I question the feasibility, but I don't have a problem with the zoning request for clarification.
Mr. Stanton?
This seems pretty cut and dry. The market will determine if the marijuana usage will be feasible or not. There's enough regulations and stipulations in place. They're either going to meet those or they're not. I simply see this as a property owner making his property as appealing to as many groups as he possibly can, and that's how I see this. So the market and the current regulations will determine if marijuana dispensary or testing facilities will be housed in this area.
Mr. McMahon?
If there are no other comments.
Well, we've got
sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway-Jones.
Galloway-Jones?
So I guess I don't know why I feel compelled to say, but I feel compelled to say that I agree with Commissioner Stanton that I honestly do not think they can put a medical marijuana testing facility in that location. I don't think they've got the space to do it, and I don't think the other tenants would want them to. It is a very different proposition than a dispensary. However, that's not our role, and there are hundreds of pages of regulation that will answer that question that are not before us. So, I mean, if they want to throw it in there just for funsies, I suppose that's fine.
Anyone else? Mr. McMahon?
If there are no other comments or questions. In the matter of case 1492020, a major amendment to the PD plan for Shapira Clinic, I move to approve.
Second.
Second from Ms. Russell. Any other further discussion? If none, Ms. Burns?
Yes. My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Ms. Galloway-Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries. Recommendation will be forwarded to City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. With that, we're done with those agenda items. So now we're on to public comments. Is there anyone from the public who would like to come up and speak? You may do so at this time. Seeing none, I guess we'll move to staff comments. Mr. Zinner?
Next meeting is September 10th. You do have a couple of items on the agenda at this point, if you can, Rusty. So your upcoming cases are of two. We have a plat. This is MPC station number 94. This is better known as the ZX gas station at the corner of Locust Street and Providence, directly across from the Eatwell, former Lucky's site, and immediately to the north of the Hardee's. They are asking for a final plat approval to do a lot consolidation of multiple lots that they own, which include the former Nine Round building that is to the immediate north and south of our Flat Branch property, in order to facilitate redevelopment of the ZX gas station site itself. It does have a design adjustment with it, which will be described in greater detail during the reporting. And your second project is a rezoning request that is to assist the City of Columbia in construction of a new fire station on the south end of town. It's lot 58 of Deerfield Ridge. It is a rezoning request from PD to R1. And just to familiarize yourself with the locations, here are the locations. As I said, directly across from the Eatwell, former Lucky's store, is the MPC plat. And then on the right-hand side of your screen is the lot 58 of Deerfield Ridge Plat 2, which is seeking that rezoning from PD to R1, and that is to facilitate the construction of a new fire station for the City of Columbia. We will have a work session as well on the 10th. It'll start at 5:30 p.m. We'll be discussing matters yet to be determined. I have a selection of topics, as we talked about today in work session. I'll try to pick a couple that will be interesting and result in a robust discussion. Thank you for your attention this evening. I know there are some that need to get to a debate or an acceptance speech for the Democratic Convention, so that is all I have to offer, and we will look forward to seeing you on the 10th of September.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Commissioner comments? Mr. Stanton?
I have one. Like I said, as long as we're dealing with a lot of things politically, I'm going to have a little statement every meeting. My statement today is about voting. I want to let the public be aware that ex-felons can vote in Missouri as it relates to State Statute 115-133-1. Any ex-felon that has completed their probation and parole and is clear of all obligations to the state can register to vote. So if you can go to this county clerk's office and register, and start that process if you are not voting at this time. Ex-felons can vote in the state of Missouri.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Any other commissioners have comments? Mr. McMahon?
I move to adjourn.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We are adjourned.